Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McRae of the News Tribune. And Kyle, it was, as we expected, kind of a low-key off week. I think, though, the anticipation's been building ever since last week just to kind of go, it's Georgia week, let's just get to Georgia week. I think everybody's excited for this one that we're going to see today.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, no better time for a bye week than the week before your strongest opponent
sure.
of the year, right? You get an extra week to prepare. That's exactly the time you need it. Seemed like, you know, a little unconventional bye week from what we've heard from Coach Drinkwitz. A little more focus on some of the younger guys last week. In practice and everything, okay. trying to, you know, guys who haven't gotten a ton of reps, getting some more time in practice, let the guys who have been playing a lot rest up and
okay.
and get healthier, which it seems like they mostly have. And then this week has been, you know, of course, all in, ready to try to take down Goliath.
Yeah. So I guess the biggest kind of news during the bye week or coming out of the bye week was just the fact that, you know, we did get kind of our first college football playoff rankings came out this week. Kind of surprising to some that the number one team in the AP poll, Georgia, was not number one. They're number two. And, you know, Missouri, who's, you know, 14 in the AP poll, is actually a little bit higher than that. And CFP, they're number 12. So, one, good for the Tigers. I think that's the highest they've ever been in the since the college football playoff rankings have started. And, I mean, this is a game where you didn't need any kind of more incentive. But the incentive is if you're kind of in that top tier, you want to stay in that top tier. And the easiest way to do that is to try to get a win this week.
Well, I think right now you can say Missouri is one of the teams remaining that has a chance at playing in the playoff.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
Missouri could control its own destiny if it were to win out.
Yeah.
But that has to start this week.
Right.
You have to beat Georgia for
sure.
that to be the case. Otherwise,
right.
you're dropping too far.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, great. I think it's the first time Mizzou's ever been in the initial college football playoff rankings. I think the earliest they had appeared before was, like, week 11,
okay.
If I remember correctly. So, yeah, awesome. Great for them. A little surprising that they jumped LSU specifically.
Right.
That was one of the teams that's in front of them in the AP and behind them in the CFP, you know, after losing the head-to-head. There were a couple of those throughout the CFP rankings that were kind of interesting where you were almost back-to-back or have back-to-back teams that the team in front had lost the head-to-head matchup.
Right.
So, you know, kind of an interesting setup, you know, with how the system has worked out. And then, of course, you know, I don't quite understand why we do the CFP rankings
right.
this early.
Right.
Because, like, you've got Ohio State and Michigan both in the top four right now set up to play in the playoff, but they're going to play in the Big Ten
right.
championship if that works out, so one of them will get knocked out losing that game.
Exactly, yeah.
So, like, what's really the point?
Other than getting us talking
point?
About it, not a
yeah.
whole lot. And I do think that in some of those instances you're talking about, I do think it was just a matter of what can we do to get people talking about
yeah.
it? And it's just like, oh, we'll get a little more buzz if we make some of these odd calls that it seemed like they did make, because
sure.
you look at it and go, I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if I believe that. But it gets you doing what they want you to do. They
yeah.
want some buzz surrounding it.
Especially with, you know, a handful of games left to be played, that's enough time to kind of fix it throughout
sure.
as you're moving forward.
Right.
So, like, maybe that is kind of what they're doing. They're saying, hey, let's give them a couple of things
right.
and get people talking about,
yeah.
hey, you know, this and this and this.
Right.
And then over the next handful of weeks, you can just kind of, you know, make it all make some more sense.
Right. So while the Tigers are coming off a bye week and they still sit at 7-1 and 3-1 in conference play, Georgia is coming off a win last week that moved them to 8-0 and 4-0 in the SEC. Won 43-20 at Florida and kind of just kept things rolling. I think there were some people who thought, okay, well, we'll see, you know, are they as good as advertised? And if maybe do they slip up, you know, and does Florida keep that one close? I think it was kind of one of those games where the outcome was never really in doubt.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of been the case all season. Georgia hasn't played the absolute toughest schedule to this point, but
right.
really the only team that's given them a game so far has been Auburn
right.
a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a good road win. And Coach Drinkwitz was talking about that's kind of when he saw Carson Beck, Georgia's quarterback, really take a step forward confidence-wise. And okay. then you've seen, you know, Georgia's offense just explode after that game.
Right.
You know, when you're bringing in a new quarterback like that, even when you've got all of the talent in the world like Georgia has, there can be a bit of a work-in period where, sure. you know, there's just a little bit of getting everything set and making sure your quarterback understands all that's going on and is in tune with right. your pass catchers and, you know, everything else. So it seems like kind of since that Auburn game, he's got it. He knows what's going on and he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, that was one of two scores that really jumps out when you're just looking at their schedule from the standpoint of, you know, in week three, they also had a 10-point game with South Carolina where yeah. you kind of look and go, that one also seemed like an aberration, but I think that also speaks to what you're sure. talking about. It's just that you're going to have some early season growing pains, and now that they've kind of gotten past them, it's still a team now that even with those growing pains and kind of just maybe starting to kind of round into shape is still averaging 40.5 points per game. So it hasn't really hurt the production overall.
Well, yeah, and you got to think, you know, Carson Beck's not the only new guy
sure.
this year. Right? Yeah. I think Georgia had 10 draft picks
right.
in the 2023 draft, following 15 in the 2022 draft. So it is, you know, almost a full turnover
right.
year to year.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I looked this up for the preview story, and I think 5 of the 10 were defensive players.
Okay.
So you're looking at, you know, half of your defensive starters out.
Right.
And you're putting in a full new half of your guys, which also means, you know, well, 4 of them were offensive. I think one of them was the kicker.
Okay.
But that's a lot of guys to replace.
Sure.
Right? And to lose. And that's a lot of talent when you are coming off back-to-back national championships.
Yeah.
That you're just rotating in and having a sustained amount of success over a 3-year period in college football like right. this, which is just insane.
Yeah, absolutely. So Georgia week last year, it doesn't take a genius to kind of remember what we talked about. Yeah. We kept talking about it's going to take a perfect effort to have a chance to beat Georgia. They almost got that perfect effort, you know, and end up falling, 26-22. So I think the feeling is the same this week, where except for it's a little bit different, where you go in saying, we're going to need a kind of a perfect effort to probably win this one. Now, I think they took the surprise out of it last year by going, hey, we did it last year and got real close. So I don't think I would necessarily be surprised to maybe see them come out and try to replicate that. It's just a matter of this one's also going to be on the road this year. So you go, it's going to be a little bit harder to do that when you're playing at Georgia.
Athens is a pretty big environmental right. shift
yeah.
from a home game.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, I mean, last year you very nearly got that perfect effort. You were up 10 late in the game.
Right.
You're right there, and then just Georgia's able to put together 2 fourth quarter scoring drives and take the win.
Yeah.
This year, you know, when you talk about a perfect effort from last year's Missouri team versus a perfect effort from this year Missouri's team, it looks vastly different.
Sure.
I mean, last year, like, the point of last year being a perfect effort is that, or a near perfect effort, is they held Georgia to 26 points. Right? I mean, that's, and they had them at 12 into the fourth quarter. That was fantastic.
Right.
The defense has been better the last couple of weeks, but I don't think you're going to get something like that again. This year, when you're talking about a perfect effort, I think that means the offense is putting up 40.
Right, right.
Right. I mean, you're looking at it as a flip side of the ball because, you know, the defense was the absolute strength of last year's team, and I would say the offense is the strength of this year's team.
Sure, absolutely. It's again, you're also going to have the kind of the eyes of the nation on you from the standpoint of, I think it's one of 5 games this week pairing up top 25 teams. So you're having ranked team versus ranked team. There's one early in the day, and I think there's an 11 o'clock game that has that with, I think, Texas and Kansas State. But then you get the 2:30 kind of window on CBS. So this is, you know, it's not like it didn't have a big game feel kind of before that was announced, and then you heard, oh, 2:30 on CBS. Yeah, it's got a super big game feel to it now.
I mean, I think Mizzou's kind of, you know, one of the surprise teams for everybody
right.
this year. I mean, it was surprising for us watching the sure. offense in the, you know, week 3, 4, 5 before we kind of fell into the rhythm of what it actually looks like. And I mean, there's a reason this, you know, this team was 500 the last 3 years, the last 3 regular seasons, and then ended under 500 with 3 disappointing bowl games. Or, well, 2 didn't go to the bowl in 2020. But, you know, Missouri the last couple of years has not been a team that stuck out nationally.
Right.
And this year it absolutely is.
Sure.
I mean, coming in the initial college football playoff rankings at 12 with a shot at, you know, with a path to the playoff.
Right.
Is not where I think anybody expected.
Right.
Missouri, outside of Missouri, I don't think anybody expected this team to be in that position this late in the season. So that's a huge, huge game that a lot of people are going to be looking at to see if this is a real team.
And I also do feel like that, yes, while this is, you know, like the roadmap is there, I do feel like that the roadmap might still be there after this week if you have a close loss. It's not going to be great, and it's not going to be easy. But I do think that there's a lot of things that can shake out between now and then, that there may just be a little bit of chaos for a couple weeks that may make things more interesting. But yes, I do feel like that, you know, the easiest thing is to say, get yourself a victory and keep it that way.
The only reason I don't think there is, if you lose this game, no matter how close, is you're looking at a two-loss team not making its conference championship game.
Sure.
Right.
Fair enough.
You know, if you win this game, you are then in position to go into the conference championship game instead of Georgia.
Right.
Right, because then you jump them in the standings with the head-to-head. If you lose this game, not only are you a two-loss team, you're a two-loss team who didn't go to the conference championship.
Right.
That's where I think that difference is. Because if you could say, you know, if Georgia was in the West, and you could say that you're a two-loss team, but you're still going to go to the conference championship, I think that's a different situation.
Right.
But it's already kind of looking like a pretty ridiculous field to get into that top four.
Right.
Because, I mean, you're probably going to have the Pac-12 champ this year for the first time in a while.
Right.
Right? If it's Washington, probably, or Oregon, I guess. The Big 12 champ probably finds a way in, whether it's, if it's OU or Texas.
Right.
But, you know, all of those teams, except for Washington, already have a loss. You're going to get the Big Ten champ, whether it's Ohio State or Michigan. You know, Florida State's number four in the rankings right now, so you might be looking at, you know, an ACC champ getting in there too.
Sure.
I think we are at a point where you're probably not getting two SEC teams this year, unless there's some Pac-12 cannibalization or Big 12 cannibalization that goes on in the last few weeks.
Right.
So I think just, yeah, that not making the conference championship is, I think, kind of the stick there where you say, no.
Sure. So you always want to be at full strength going into a big game like this. Obviously, the bye week helped. But how are we looking in terms of, you know, we talked last week, I'm sure, about, you know, nagging things for Luther. You know, Brady's battled through a lot this year in terms of what he's been able to do. Sure, it was great for him to get a week. How do we think about how those key contributors will be a little bit fresher? Plus, are we getting anybody back that we were kind of maybe hoping for this one?
I think Brady and Cody Schrader were both still listed on the injury report as probable,
Okay. Which
a probable designation is whatever. You're probably good to go, and you just maybe had to, or didn't even have to, but sat out a little bit during practice this week. Tyrone Hopper is questionable, which was the surprise for me on the injury report this week. Not sure what's going on there.
Okay.
Not really sure what to expect. And then Chad Bailey is out once again, which has been for a significant chunk of the season. Chuck Hicks, in, you know, as his replacement, has been playing pretty well. So we'll just keep seeing more of Chuck Hicks. But other than that, it looks like, you know, pretty much everybody's set to go. Hopefully for Mizzou's sake, that extra week got Brady's legs kind of back to early season health.
Because,
sure, like you said, he's been dealing with a lot, and you could see in, you know, how the offense operated the run game week 3 and 4 versus against Kentucky and South Carolina. Like, the Brady-designed runs had kind of almost fully come out.
Mm.
They were back a little bit against South Carolina, but the last few games, you hadn't seen it a lot.
Right.
Hopefully that extra week can kind of bring that element back in, because that could play a big role.
All right, I guess it gets to the prediction point, and I'll just ask you, can the Tigers pull off the upset today?
I have picks in the paper this week, and I did not go with the upset.
Okay.
I think Georgia is just a little too strong, so I picked Georgia 38-31.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McArabi, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McArevey on Twitter at Kyle_McArevey. That's MCAREAVY. Thanks for listening.